'Tis the season, or rather, it's been the season since October 18th, when the Hallmark Channel started showing Christmas movies. Now, I'm not big on Hallmark movies, but I can see the appeal. They don't require a whole lot of effort to watch, right? They're just kind of fun. Every movie has a similar plot line. They all kind of go like this. Our heroine, Jennifer, is a big city career woman engaged to a big shot businessman named Felix or something like that. And after Felix forgets to invite her to his family's private island for Christmas, she goes back to her small hometown to spend that time with her overbearing mother. And there she meets a single dad named Jeff, who wants to open a bakery. And through a series of humorous misadventures, she learns the true meaning of Christmas. And in the last 5 minutes of the movie, because it's always in the last 5 minutes of the movie, she dumps Felix, she moves back to her hometown, she gives up her career, she gets together with Jeff, and she starts making donuts. Roll credits. Is that about accurate? Okay. Forgot the kids. The kiss. Oh, yes. There has to be a chaste church kiss in there somewhere, too, I'm sure, at the end. So, but I get it. Stressful time. People want a way to tune out the world for a little while. It's kind of like sports in that way. It's part of the appeal of the Vikings, you know, because you can kind of leave the world behind for a little bit and focus on the game. And who doesn't want to escape the world sometimes? Life is stressful, especially at this time of year. We also may feel loss more keenly at this time of year than we do at other times of the year. But as calendars get full, blood pressures rise, we want a break. And while there's nothing wrong with a break, there's nothing wrong with taking a little time for ourselves, we can be so stressed, so anxious, that we can turn inward on ourselves, just concerned about ourselves and our own feelings. We can self-medicate with food or with substances or with behaviors. We can enter a feedback loop of nostalgia, remember how much better things used to be, and resentment. But Jesus isn't going to let us escape into nostalgia or self-medication. Jesus' words today are like a sledgehammer to the wall. No sentimentality here, no nostalgia here, no longing for a time in the past that was so much better. This passage in Luke picks Jesus up mid-speech in the temple, speaking about the coming reign of God. There will be distress among the nations, he says. Confusion, roaring seas and crashing waves, fainting from fear and foreboding about what is coming upon the world. Sound familiar? In our text study this week, one of the pastors noted, every time I preach on this text, someone always says to me, Pastor, isn't that just like today? Yeah, it's always been just like today, whenever today has been. As the French proverb goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. If we have been in the end times, so to speak, since Jesus walked out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, then sure, these things have kind of been there since that's happened. It's been kind of part of our world, part of our fallen world. But one thing is starkly different, and that something is a someone. Jesus, the Son of Man, is coming. He is surely coming at the end of all things to usher in a new creation, but he also comes among us now. He arrives among us every single day. in the simple acts of faithfulness that we often overlook. In the bread and wine of the communion table, the shared highs and lows at the dinner table, in the work of ministry partners like Love Inc. and the Food Shelf, in the bravery of two young girls to share their musical gifts with us today. Thank you very much for that. We see and hear the good news when you share your gifts with us. We also see Jesus in the way that genuine disciples strive to put themselves under his rule and to live the way he would have us live. Jesus is coming without a shred of nostalgia or resentment or sentimentality. And though we're in the season when we remember his first advent, his first arrival among us, born to an unwed Jewish girl among the animals, we also look expectantly to his reign, when he will put an end to the oppressive ways of empire and the world as we know them. And when he arrives, he won't rapture us away to some far distant heaven. Even though Jesus does talk about, pray that you may have the strength to it, that you may escape all these things, it's not talking about removing us out of creation. Jesus is coming to make all things new here, make creation new here, even the current devastation of the world. The good news of Jesus Christ is not about escape. It's rather about new scapes, we might say, a new worldscape that we are invited but not compelled to live into. The reign of Jesus Christ is all about invitation. It's all about us willingly being part of it. The new worldscape is defined by shalom, an integration of life that we don't fully enjoy in this realm. But it is offered to us who belong to Jesus Christ and who put ourselves under his reign. So with the good news of a coming new world, what do we do now? After all, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus first walked among us. And the answer is in the last part of our reading. Watch. Not an anxious kind of watching. I've heard about this kind of watching from a formerly Pentecostal member of my congregation in Indiana, who literally didn't have hell scared out of her, but hell scared into her. This person was brought up thinking that because Jesus could return at any moment, she'd better be right with God at all times, better be absolutely perfect at all times. Otherwise, she'd end up in the bad place. That's not healthy, but it isn't healthy either to have a kind of a laxity. Well, it's been 2,000 years, where's the promise of his coming? There is a scriptural verse about that addresses that very thing. Jesus isn't calling us to either anxiety or apathy. Jesus is calling us to an active kind of watching, a watchfulness that is secure and that's calm in his love. It's the watchfulness that you can see in everyday things. You can see it in all sorts of little things we kind of overlook. I don't need to re-elaborate them. It's enough to say that where we choose to pray, where we choose to be loving, where we choose to forgive, where we choose to act in solidarity with the poor, where we choose to release contempt or hatred, where we choose to be a peacemaker rather than a peacekeeper, we are keeping faithful watch for Jesus Christ and for his reign. This is no Hallmark Channel kind of Christian faith. This is a Christian faith that is bold, that engages with the world as it is, and that strives to love as he loves us. We don't escape into ourselves. We don't escape out of the world. Rather, we abide with Jesus in this devastated world that God so loves. And when Jesus returns into his glory, we may find, much to our surprise, just how present he was with us the whole time. Thanks be to God. Amen.